All right, so continuing, trying to get, trying to see if we can understand a little more in the Dalet Shichem Lahodos. So, yeah. So again, so we found the Oroch and the Otzer Gaonim have a fuller explanation from Rav Haigon, of Rav Haigon Shita. By the way, I just noticed in the Ritva, they have Rav Haigon exactly reversed. They have him exactly like Tosus. I don't know why. In the Ritva. In the Moser of Kuk Ritva, they said, they asked Rav Haigon, and he gave exactly Tosus's answer. It must be a mistake, but they don't say anything in there. This is definitely the authentic sheet of Rav Haigon. Like the Aruch has it, like it was there, going to have it, like Rabbeinu Yonah has it. Okay, so listen, but he gives more explanation. Okay, ready? Hochin is lifrushi. I say it like this. Right. Sho'alu lifnei Rabbeinu Haizal. Had omar Rav Yehuda omar Rav. Arba tzrichin lahodos. Mai taima lo amrinan rabbonan kisidura dekroi. So, I mean, we have to answer that question. Ultimately, we have to answer that question. I mean, there's one thing is to say, to explain the different order, but why did they do it? That's also troubling to us, right? Okay. So Rav Haigon says like this. By the way, just parenthetically, what's Tosus's answer is very, very pleasing on a practical level, because he says that the psukim are representing the nace or the danger, right? The severity of the danger. And the Gemara is going by the common case, which makes perfect sense. The Gilgan HaShas says to look in the beginning of Shabbos. So in the beginning of Shabbos, Tosos asks, why does Shabbos start with Yitzios HaShabbos? Why doesn't it start with the Halachas of Erev Shabbos? Right? So one of Tosus's answer is that the Shas goes in the order of Motzoi, of what's more common. And the most practical issue that a Jew faces on Shabbos is Hotzah. Okay? So there's a certain idea that the Gemara would take, you know, the common, the Gemara presents it in the sense of Asiyas HaMitzvah. So which Birkas HaGomel, what do you do? What's more common? What Asiyah takes place? So giving you an order of practicality. Okay? There's a sense to that. There's a good sense to that. That the Pasuk should speak on a more ideal plane, and the Gemara speak on a more practical plane. Right? There's nothing that makes perfect sense. It fits in with the way we think about things in general. So anyway, but Rav Haigon has the opposite. So he's like this. Hochin is lefrush. What we have to figure out, though, is we have to try to figure out what he's thinking about these cases from the way he's presenting it. Okay, so we got to do a little backwards, a little deconstruction. So it goes like this. Ready? Dekroy sedirin lefum deshchichi tvei. The psukim go according to what is more common. Okay? Forget the chart. Just listen to this. De holche drachim umid boros harbe mitsuyin. Vishchichin holchin meir leir. Okay, so first of all, you know, what's hard about this whole sugi is even getting the facts straight. So it's sort of like simultaneously trying to figure out what the facts are and the svara from Rav Haigon's description of the order. Okay? So first of all, we see from Rav Haigon that he's including in this category of holchei drachim, holchei midbaros, is what the Gemara says, he's including simply me'ir le'ir. Okay? And that, he says, and therefore, that, he's saying, is the most common. Because, you know, travel is very common. So it's from city to city. Interstate travel is very common. V'achareyan, mi shehoya chovosh beveis ha'asurin, dima'itin minahon. Now, obviously, I don't know. Seems like things have changed a little bit. But in his time, or at least in the time of the Gemara, from the time that he's, the time of the Psukim, it was common to be thrown in jail. Right after you come back from your trip, apparently, get thrown in jail. The most common thing after traveling is being in jail. V'harbe nami mitsuyin, afilu al karago v'al tasko. So that means to say, like, on minor monetary offenses, people get thrown into jail. I'm not talking about, like, you know, maximum security, capital offense type stuff.
Like debtor's prison.
Yeah, debtor's prison. They're trying to restart that in New Jersey recently. So that.
Yeah.
So yeah, debtor's prison or right taxes, things like that. So he's saying that that's the next common thing. The acharean misha yacholav in isrape, dimoitin min dimechavshin l'shiltona. And what is next in common? What's next common? Is a chola who gets well. That happens. That happens a little less frequently than being put in jail. And your dehayom are the least common. Okay, so how is he looking at common? I don't remember what we said yesterday, but how he's looking at common now? It seems, how he's looking at common, he means the situation itself, right? The situation. Most people, a lot of people are involved in travel. Take the population. Likelihood of people being involved in travel is high. Then apparently, I mean, it's a little bit hard to believe, but then apparently he's saying between travel, which is just a mundane activity, because he's including regular travel, Meir Lear. He's not just including a guy who's making a trans-Saharan trek, right? He's including going from ear to ear. So that's common. And then... between being sick and traveling, he's saying, was this likelihood of being taken into some sort of custody for some kind of an infraction. Okay. So then he has traveling from earlier, the being under arrest, then falling ill and recovering, and then the least likely is to be on an ocean voyage. How often does that happen? Very infrequently. Okay, so his frequency is in terms of the occurrence of the situation that the sakana may arise in. Clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Things that occur.
No, the point is he's not looking at to'a bader, to'a b'midbar. When he says the pasuk is talking in frequency, and the pasuk is literally has the case of a guy who's lost in the desert, he's not saying that's more frequent than being sick. He's saying being on the road is more frequent. Right? Okay. Okay, but then when he says about the order of the Gemara, so he says like this, the Gemara is going in the order of the danger. Let's use his words. Shmaita sedur lefum hakirovim lisakana. Now what does that mean? Hakrovim lisakana. Proximity to the danger. And what does that mean? Yorde hayom tfei krovim lisakana. The seafarers are closest to sakana. What does that mean, they're closest to sakana? He explains. Dibichad rega ovdin. Unclear what that means.
At any minute they could get lost.
In 1 minute they could be destroyed. Okay. Who? Who are we talking about? Now, we have to be consistent, no? We're not talking about a seafarer in a storm, no? We have to be talking about just a seafarer. Okay? Ubasreon, holche midboros, toim. Now he says the guys who are lost in the desert, though.
Not why? Just traveling the desert.
I don't know. He says, "Delo mishakhin machal umashke." They can't find food and water. Ukrovim lemisa yoser min hachayim. They're closer to death than to life. So in other words, if a guy is really... So now it sounds like he is talking about the situation, right?
Yeah.
It was when you're in the situation of the yam, in the danger of the yam, when you're in the storm, I mean, we have to try to figure it out. He says, you could be lost in a second. It was the danger of the storm is momentary, is sudden.
Oh, that's... You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I thought he was just equating... the general state of sea travel to the danger state of...
That's not fair, though.
I know,
that's not fair.
I thought that's what
Yeah, no, I'm trying to make him fair. So he's saying like this. No, he's saying the death... How does sakana come about in the yam? Suddenly, unpredictably. And basically... Berega achas, he says. But by the desert, if a guy were lost in the desert, it's a prolonged type of a thing. Oh, what kind of a sense does that make? Ubasreo misha yacholav in nisrape. And the less dangerous, less korov to sakana, is someone who's sick and gets better. Afilu choshesh berosho, vafilu choshesh begrono. So again, he's very expansive on his definition of a chola. Just like he's very expansive on his definition of holech bamidbar, holech midbarios, to include meir leir, which is apparently a more well-traveled route. So too, he includes in the chola even a guy who's choshesh berosho, headache, right? Ubasreon misha yachovash bebeis asurim demarchik min asakana tveim in kulon. Because, like he said before, he's even talking about like a debtor's prison. Not a guy who's in there with hardened criminals, or he's really just, they locked them up and threw away the key. Right? So once again, and then he has the key. He says, v'kol chad minahon, each one of these, Odif nise mi debasre. Each one of these, his nase is greater than the one that follows. So for some reason now he's linking up what he calls the korov lesakana to the greatness of the nase. Odif nise. So he's saying the yordi hayam, they have the most to be thankful for. Right? They have the bigger nase. The guy who travels Meir Leir. Is that the next guy? Yeah. That's the Gemara, right. He has the next greatest nace. The Chola is the second to least, and the Chavish is the least. Okay.
Guy is, you know...
Wait, hold on, one second. Let's just get factually speaking here. If a guy takes a sea voyage... and he doesn't encounter any storm, does he make Birkas HaGomel?
According to
him, according to Rav Vaigel, it seems so, right? Seems so. Otherwise, that wouldn't be a way to order it. I mean, you can't order it on something that's not the case. So on the one hand, he's saying you make the bracha even when you're going Meir Leir, even when you're going on a crystal clear day, even when you had a bad headache and you got better. And even when you got thrown into the country club jail?
What's that place called? Otisville?
Yeah, not so simple over there, but yeah. And yet, what's he saying? And yet he's saying that it's the most, that the yam is the most dangerous. Just the yam. The followed by the mid, by the travel, followed by the chola, followed by the inmate. In other words, I think what Zach is saying is part of the picture, but right, saying take the destructive force of the that you're worried about on the yam. That force is a force that has that's unequaled in power and absolutely no protection against if it's unleashed in its full glory on you, right?
Okay.
So it is a, you are completely at the mercy of that thing. But the guy who's in the desert, it's not really a force that's after him. That's destroying him. It's just he is searching around for food and water, and he's trying, and he's not succeeding. But it's not like it's not like he's facing a
constant threat.
A certain and the chola also is less defined what it is exactly that's the danger, and the beis hasurim. Okay, but let me try to give you the let me try to give you the svar I'm thinking about on how he's looking at it. You want to entertain? You want to look at Tosis first, or you want to just think about this side first? So we can one side at a time, right? Okay. So this I think has to do with. I don't think you go in one particular thing. Like you were saying, Zach. I don't think it has to do with one element of like control. I think it has to do with the way the person feels about the danger. Okay, as according to Rav Haigon, he's saying that what's really the machayev of the bracha? What's the machayev of the bracha? This is what I was trying to say yesterday. Let me just think of the right way to put it. No, there's a certain thing, like, I don't know if you ever heard this, but people say, for instance, sometimes you'll find people who are very, very afraid of swimming, like in the ocean, right? And what are they afraid of, inevitably?
Sharks,
of course. So you can tell them, you know, you could be the wise guy and say, did you drive a car? Right? Do you eat eggs that are slightly undercooked? You know, do you eat chicken? You know, well, you're more likely to you go outside, more likely to get hit by lightning than. So why is it that they're so afraid of the sharks in the ocean? So this is what this once read in a book about shark attacks. So he said it's because that thought is just so terrifying.
Yeah, it's a gruesome.
Right, it's a gruesome idea to be fish food, and to have that experience of, you know, that last moment of looking down and seeing the jaws. Right? That's the end of it?
I'm out.
You're out. And let's face it, there's no real reason to be in there. But, so the point is, though, that when a person is thinking about the situation, there's more than just the chances it's going to happen. Right. There's also the way you relate to the event were it to happen. Okay. So in terms of the feeling of gratitude for not having succumbed to that harm, Rav Haigon seems to be learning it goes by the way a person relates to that harm itself. The way he that has to do with his fears, his anticipations, his whole psychological makeup of the chance of that happening. So it's possible. That's why you have to look at what type of a destructive force is it. It's not a matter of how likely is it to happen. It's how destructive of a force is it. So a person relates to going in the ocean, he has a terror of being in a situation that is completely beyond his control. That you relate to in a greater way, psychologically and emotionally, than to the fact that maybe I'll get lost in the desert, and when I sense that I'm lost, I'll still have a chance to, it's not like an unsalvageable situation. Okay, you know, you might be able to prove that more people die getting lost in the desert, but that doesn't matter. That's not really the issue, according to Rav Haigon. According to Rav Haigon, the issue is that really the ikkar of the bracha is that a person is giving hodah, like we were saying yesterday, I'm being saved from the fearful situation, that he was saved from his fear. He entered the situation and there was a certain fear in his mind, and he cannot, and you have to evaluate the need for the shevach and the hodah, not in realistic terms, but just in terms of the chesed that the person feels he experienced, that he avoided what was his fear. So therefore, that's an important idea that the Gemara is expressing. Okay, the Gemara is choosing to alter the order to highlight this idea that the chesed, that the bracha of Gomel, really is from the perspective of the person's view and his feeling of avoiding that fearful encounter. So therefore, he says, any situation where that is on the person's mind is a situation that's shayach to this bracha. So any engagement that brings to mind the ultimate possibility is a place that's shayach and is roy for the Birkas HaGomel. So even traveling from city to city, you can't be talking about going from Lawrence to Cedarhurst, obviously. It means to say there had to have been some type of a desolate situation in between the cities. But it wasn't a midbar. But still, maybe there were, it wasn't a 100% clear path. Or maybe like the Yerushalmi, I think, says that it could be highwaymen, highway robbers. Right, they had real highway robbery back then, not just overcharging you for a bottle of water. It's a sign. So that's why he's including even a slight sickness that a person associates to the greater harm. And really, you could say that the ikkar of the whole bracha is in general that we're kept from harm. Now, that was like we were mentioning yesterday, there's two elements to the bracha. There's shegamolani kol tov, right? So in other words, there's a recognition of the full gemilas chesed in general, of not being in these, of not having harm before you. But the mechayev is, when you enter into a situation that reminds you of the dangers, but that then you chayav to make the bracha on all the situations that you're saved from in general, but the way it's calculated is in terms of the psyche, in terms of the reminder. So it goes by the psychological magnitude of fear that a person associates with it. Then that's not always rational. That's not statistical. That has to do with the way it grips you. So if a person thinks of the fact that on an ocean, in one wave, he'll be just slammed, that's a more fearful thing than saying, well, I might be off on my navigation and have to try to figure out where I am. You don't feel that same kind of impending doom and helplessness that you feel in the yam. It's like people, I mean, you know some people like that, I think. You know, that's the fear of flying in an airplane, you know, right? Because they just feel like if something were to happen, it would be helpless. And then that thought of plummeting to the ground is just too much for a person to bear.
Themselves aren't flying the planet, so they can't be buildings.
Well, no, but...
No, because even pilots crash planes. Matter of fact, I think almost 100% of the planes are crashed by pilots. But, right. Whereas Tosos, I think, takes the other approach. It seems that Tosos takes the other approach. And he's looking at it from the reality of the danger. Okay? So that's why he reverses it. He says like this. He says, first of all, it's not just the guy who's chosh be'rosho. Right? He knocks those cases out. He knocks out a case of a guy who's choshesh be'rosho. He knocks out a case of holech me'ir li'ir. Because the reality is, there's not much of a danger in those situations. Okay? And he says that the psukim are going out by the danger. So let's think it through again now. So what is the order of the psukim? First guy is the midbar. The midbar, the chavosh, the chola, and the yam. Yeah, so in what way is this the right order for the danger? Yeah.
But he's not...
Okay, so what does he mean that the sakana of the midbar is greater than the sakana of the yam? Huh? Snakes?
Scorpions.
No, I think you're right. I think he means to say the numbers of dangers that you're exposed to in the midbar are greater. Whereas in the yam, there are fewer dangers. And maybe he'll even say that in total, I have two operating theories, okay? Either he means like this, either he means practically speaking. See, I don't want to say that though. I'll just say one thing. In other words, you could say that he means practically speaking, more people who go through the desert die than who are imprisoned and who are sick and who travel in the yam. But I would say even if that's not the case. Even if that's not the case.
Sure.
Even if that's not the case, I think it also goes by the actual dangers that you're exposed to. Okay. It could be that there are a lot of dangers in the desert travel, and usually you are aware enough to avoid them. You know what I mean? But in other words, for instance, let's say a guy is there are dangers to the right, dangers to the left, dangers all around. But of course, if he takes the right path, he'll avoid all of them. And most of the time, you do take the right path. So that would mean to say that it's very infrequent. It could be that it's very infrequent that you die, but you are exposed to very many dangers. Right, being exposed to many dangers doesn't mean you're going to die more often. Okay, but the reality is there's a reality of dangers of the midbar that are greater than the yam. Because in the yam, you have a couple of days. Sometimes you can you can see the storm coming. You can ride it out. I mean, there's basically the storm is what you're worried about. You're worried about the storm. But in the desert, there are a lot more things. And when you're chovish based on asurim, you're completely at other people's will. You're completely at the will of the prison guard. And there are all kinds of other inmates, all kinds of things. And the chola also is somewhat of a unpredictable situation. But the point is like this. The big picture point is what I'm trying to say is that...
The chola makes sense.
The chola makes sense for everybody. Right? It's in the same order.
Because you have more things to be worried of. There's billions of bacteria.
Right. No, he's saying he's the number three in the thing. But 1 second. But the point is like this, that Tosfos seems to be learning the machayev for the bracha is the reality of the sakana that you avoided. Okay, it's the reality of the avoidance of an actual danger. And therefore, whereas Rav Haigon is learning. You're giving a bracha on being saved from the from that which you had the greatest fear of. So therefore, the yam will be on the opposite side for each one. According to Tosfos, the yam is really, there aren't that many dangers in the yam. Of course, if they hit, they're going to be fatal. But there aren't that many, you're not exposed to many dangers in the yam. It's not a multiplicity of dangers that you're avoiding every time you're on the yam. You're avoiding this, avoiding that. There might be a chance that the storm will hit, and then you'll be wiped out. Your boat will be smashed to smithereens. But, so therefore, in the reality, can I say, did I get through a situation that was, you know, rife with danger? Did I get through a situation where I had dangers to the right of me and dangers to the left of me, and I was outrunning one and keeping behind another one? No. But as opposed to Midbar, where there are many dangers in there. You can get lost, you can get attacked, you can get animals, list them, different kinds of things. But according to the Rav Haigon, the yam is really you have the greatest apprehension of. Chavash Beis Asurim, you have to understand though that their cases of Chavash are also, all of their cases are different because of the underlying theory of what the bracha is really for. So let me try to sum it up like this. Karov l'misa, in other words, when the Rav Haigon says it's karov l'sakana, it doesn't mean that sakana is really the reason for giving the bracha. The karov l'sakana means to say that's why the person is the most, that's the way the person, that's the great, that's the fear that the person has, the fear of the sakana is the greatest. Because you're exposed to the most devastating type of a sakana. It has to do with the magnitude of that sakana itself, not the frequency and the reality of it. See, I'm trying to summarize it like this, that the bracha, the question is really, what is the mechayev? And that's going to frame the way you look at it, and it's going to determine the cases that you have to make the bracha in. And that's going to fill in this whole chart of what's considered matzli and what's considered mesukan. See, like we were saying yesterday, there really is an idea of constantly having a shevach for things that that don't happen. Okay? And it's not really proper just to be thankful for getting out of something that does happen. Okay? And Rav Haigon, it seems to me that he's learning that that's the ikkar of the bracha, really, the ikkar mechayev of the bracha is in terms of avoidance. That we live our lives and our fears don't come to be. And things that are dangerous and are out there don't affect us. And we're able to, we have to be thankful for that preservation of not being exposed to harms. But in giving shevach on not being exposed to harms, you give the shevach on the harms that you fear the most. You simply have to be put into a situation that brings about a fear, and that reminds you of the fact that there are dangers that you're not exposed to, thankfully, all the time. But so therefore, everything is analyzed in terms of bringing to mind, that a person has to bring to mind, there really is a mitzvah to bring to mind the idea that you don't, that the things that are worrisome to you do not befall you. Okay? And when you get into a situation that reminds you of that, that's the mechayev to make that in that case. It's really, you could make that bracha sitting here right now. The things that are fearful to me, things that I fear in my life, don't befall me. That's really something to give shevach on. But halachically speaking, there has to be a mechayev for it. So what is the mechayev? The situation that brings to mind that idea. So that's going to be defined in terms of the person's own sense of fear. And now that's gonna not, that's not by the reality of the danger, that's just by his sense of the danger. Okay? So when he says it's korov to sakana, tfei, that's in terms of why it's that's in terms of how a person views the actual event, which impacts his fear of it. Whereas Tosis is learning the machayev of the bracha is on the actuality of hatsala, not on the general state. In other words, what I'm trying to say is Rav Haigon is really saying that it's on avoidance. And really avoidance is very, very widespread, and we can really talk about avoidance right here. The other thing is, you can't make a bracha on avoidance without a machayev, so you need to have a reminder that there are things that are being kept from you, that you're being kept from. But since it's only in the framework of reminder, the order of the Gemara is on what type of a thought the person has, what type of a fear the person has most. Okay. And that's the first encounter of the, that's the greatest expression of that idea. A terrifying fear that the person has. Okay. But the Balei Tosfos of learning, the bracha is on the actuality of a hatzala. So therefore, you need not just to be in a situation like a chash barosho that makes you think of a guy who's really deadly sick, but you have to actually be in a nofel lamita situation where you could possibly be, where you really could possibly be mesukan. As a matter of fact, I think the Ramah says it has to just, it's not enough just to be a chola, it has to be really a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Has to be a situation where there really is the possibility of sakana. So then you give a bracha on the fact that you were nitzal from the sakana. But in that sense, you have to add up the actualities of the reality of the exposure to the sakana. So in that sense, a guy who goes in the midbar is exposed to multiple dangers, whereas a guy who goes bayam is not. So therefore, if you're going to analyze it in terms of if you're going to analyze the bracha essentially as a bracha on hatsolas nefashos, so then you have to look at the reality of the danger and the reality of the hatsala. And you have to say the bracha is only in a situation where the sakana and it was actually shayach. It's going to cut out me'ir le'ir. It's going to cut out chash barosho.
Statistically speaking.
Correct. But even beyond statistics, that's what I was just trying to mention earlier, it's even if statistically speaking you might be sick, you might not be full, this tragedy, but the fact is it required your diligence to avoid many dangers. Whereas whereas the Pasuk is just speaking in terms of, according to Tosfos, oh, right, that's the Pasuk, because the Pasuk is the idea. And the Gemara is telling you the just the way the Gemara does. The Gemara is a practical halacha. So this, just wanted to mention this idea of analyzing it in terms of the fear. This was something that my father suggested when I was discussing this with him a few years ago. But we really didn't. I didn't really have it worked out like this. But that was his intuition, was that Rav Haigon was working in that framework, and it's good to see to work it out. And see
that. Is that how the Rav seems to work?
So lemaisa, then it would seem like this. In other words, when the Gemara is saying Dalet Srichim Lahodes, then you have Machlokas. Does it mean these four dafka, or is it other things, right? So if you're going to learn like Balei Tosfos, that it's really a bracha that's niskan on hatsala, so that's like the Meiri says, that if you actually are saved in an actual situation, then of course you have to make the bracha. So for instance, if a person were in a car accident and he could have gotten killed, then although it doesn't fit into one of these categories, he would make that bracha. But if you're learning, it's really a takana like Rav Haigon, that really were always in the situation of this bracha. But they were masakein four things that are mechayev in you, that are set up because they indicate the idea of fear. It's not a bracha of hatzol at all, so you can't really apply it in other cases, I think.
But you would need some sort of fear in your head.
Well, I mean, this is my intuition. I have to think about it. I'm saying that if the bracha is hatzolah, so then you can make a kal v'chomer on a real hatzolah. That's what like the Miri says. It says if it's a hatzolah, and even we consider it, you chayev to make a bracha on hatzolah just from traveling in the ocean, even though the storm didn't hit you. Then if a building collapsed on you and they saved you, alachas kama v'kama. Right, but if it's a different thing, that the bracha is on a certain situation because that reminds you of the general situation, then really I don't know if you could apply that kal v'chomer. It's a different kind of a bracha. It's a bracha more on the general state of affairs. You chayev to say that you could still make that kal v'chomer. You could still say, if something that only reminds you of a fear, then something that is actually a fear, I guess either way you could go.
Why are you saying that it's the Kalahorn or way?
Because I'll tell you what my intuition is. My intuition is like this. If the bracha is on Hatzalah, right? So then we're saying there's a Machayev of Hatzalah. There's no reality to make the bracha for us sitting here and now in this room. There would be no reality to make this bracha, right? So you need an event, it's because of the reality, it's because of a different reality, a reality of sakana that you have to make the bracha, right? So then they're saying that even these sakanas you make a bracha on, but you could say kal v'chomer, a true sakana. Hold on. But if you're going to learn like a Haigon, that really the bracha is shayach all the time. The only thing is, they instituted four specific mechayovin, so then you could say, well, that's it. Those are the four. Those four things, what were they masakin? Because there's nothing different about right now than anyway.
That's not how you explain it. You explain it as a fear factor. That's how you experience the fear. So I'd say the difference.
But the thing is, it's not a bracha of really being saved. It's a bracha of recognizing in general.
Absolutely.
So then you could say that they were only misaking it on those things.
No, so I'd say where the nafka.
Okay, maybe we can work out the Meiri like that. Now, according to Tosos, he's learning that there's a real chiyuv of hodah because of the actual hatzalah. So that's what the Meiri says. So then if this is considered a hatzalah, that I made it across the ocean and I didn't hit the storm, then certainly, if the building collapsed on me and I was rescued, that's a greater hatzalah, because I was in a greater actuality of a sakana. So then I would be chayav. But according to Rav Haigon, there really is no chiyav. It's not like there's a chiyav because of a hatzalah. It's just you have in general a requirement to be mishabech and give hodah on not having your fears befall you. So then maybe you could say like the Miri saying in the end but the thing is, why don't we do it all the time? Because we need a matir to be able to give a bracha. So then these situations are the first instance of the matir, and they were masaking those as a chov. But if it's a greater fearful situation, it could be you still have a matir to do it personally if you want to. The Miri seems to indicate that, because in the end of the Miri says, even the ones who argue would say it's a rishus. It's only a machlokas if it's a chova or a rishus. But what about this case? What about this question? What if you're walking down the street and a rock falls down next to you? Are you chayiv in a bracha? In other words, were you in a situation of sakana? And how do you define that? That's the problem. How do you define a situation like that? If you define it by whether you lived or not, then nobody will make this bracha. right? I mean, the ones who say you make the bracha on other on cases other than this than these four, so it has to be that there's some sort of a sakana involved. So how do you define that? Right? That's the question. So I saw this morning, and I was looking through some of the Shalos and Shuvos, I saw this morning that they quote the Chayei Adam as saying something, I don't remember, let me see, about this case. I mean, the svara that I had with that I discussed with my father when we were going through this a little bit was it makes sense to say it would have to be a situation where a person would look at it and say it was really amazing that the guy walked out of that. Like sometimes the guy you see like a car wreck and the cops will say it's amazing the guy walked out of that car crash. But if you didn't get into the car, you almost got into the car crash. I mean, it would have to be a situation where, given that situation, it's considered unusual that you got out of it, unscathed at least. Okay? Yeah. See, the Chayei Adam has, Misha nasa lo neis be'ezah makom kom she'nofal olav evan ukiyotzibo o she'ovar olav agola te'una she'bederech ha'teva she'yomas ayidei zeh v'hu nitzol min ha'misa. So that's Mishiyagia Loso Mokom, Mishloshim Yom, Chutz Miyom Sharov, Chutz Miyom Shomebo, Mevorech Baruch Osali Nes B'Mokom Hazeh. So he considers that to be, that's a separate halacha that Mechaber has also. That's different. That's a Nes, like he's saying you got run over by a wagon and you should have been dead.
So you make what bracha?
That's a bracha she'asah li neis b'makom hazeh. When you see that place, you say bracha.
Well, so that's what I was asking.
As long as you saw it, as long as you haven't seen it within 30 days.
You have to see it every time?
Yeah.
What if it could be explained by nature is what I was asking you.
So he says it has to, well, everything is explained by nature in a certain sense. I mean, you could always go back and say, so it means to say that there was a certain randomness of how your head could have been. And it happened to be, like they always say, it was 1/4 of an inch. If the bullet would have been 1/4 of an inch closer to your femur, to your artery, you would bled out in 30 seconds. So is that an ace? I don't know. So that they're saying is there's no rhyme or reason to why, if you hadn't been slightly differently aligned, it would have been different. Hold on a second. Aval imbo olav ganovim o shenofal olav evan o barzal samach lo afal pishaya besakonas misa ilu nofal olav eino mavarech shasli neis aval haachronim eskimu levarech hagomel v'yesh me gedolim achayim shamu shemish nasal neis mavarech gamkin hagomel tekef. So that's his two questions. That's his two cases. If the rock fell on you, he wants to make this chiluk. If the rock fell on you, and the doctor said, "Well, the average person would have died from that," then you say nace. But if the rock fell next to you, you say gomel. That's what he wants to say. But the question is, how do you define the situation of danger when the rock fell next to you? Right, walking down the street is not the danger. So you have to say what? The falling rock is the danger. But lemaisa, the rock didn't... Or like, let's say someone had a case that they were in a room and there was random gunfire. Is that considered like a mokom of sakana? Yeah.
Yeah, well, when I was...
I mean, it would seem with the rock case, I mean, how do you define in what proximity? So it would seem it would have to be that given that you could have, if you would have walked slightly differently, it would have hit you. I mean, just because something went by you, it doesn't mean anything, right? It would seem to say that it was in the situation of danger, means to say in the realm of the way that you walk, you could have just as easily been walking a little faster and then it would have hit you. Then you can sort of expand the uncertainty. You know, there has to be a certain amount of uncertainty that could take into account that that could have put you and the rock in the same place at the same time. Otherwise, how could you say he missed you? Right? Just the fact that it scared you and made you realize that you're mortal, that's not enough. I mean, maybe for a high going that would be enough. But,
no, I'd say that's on the radio case. You're always, there's constantly things.
Yeah, but you don't always realize it. That's the problem.
It's, it's just like you saw it.
Right.
Saw a rock.
Right.
It missed you.
It didn't just miss you, right. So that's what. So he's saying, though, is he's saying that if you survive the situation that's really difficult to survive, he's saying you make the bracha of shasali nes makom zeh. And if it's a, but if it's not that intense, but you just were in the overall situation that the sakana could have, that it could have hit you, then he says you make a gomel. I mean, we have all these questions. Like I say, guys, walk crossing the street. And the car screeches to a halt and just barely misses him. You know, and if the guy would have been texting, he would have been dead. And if this and that, you know. If you can go down the ifs and ifs. But how do you define a situation of Hatzalah? Would you say that when the car is coming, he's in a situation of Sakana? And then when the guy steps on his brakes, it was Hatzalah? Or you say, Lamaisa, he wasn't in the, I don't know, it's very difficult to define.